Now tonight I want to read to you some verses from the book of John, John's Gospel, one of the most precious portions in the whole of the Bible. John 14, and we'll just read the first verses, and then I'd like you to put your finger into Hebrews chapter 3 and also Hebrews chapter 12, where we read from this morning. First of all, John 14, and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turning over to Hebrews chapter 3 and the first verse, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the work that Thou art doing across the world. We bless Thee, O God, in every place there are to be found little groups of people saved by the grace of God, standing true to the book and standing true to the blood of the Lord Jesus. We pray, our Father, that Thou would bless Thy people, and especially tonight we're thinking of Kenya. Do bless those people. And we ask You, O God, that they'll see a mighty harvest reaped to the glory of God and the blessing of that people and that land. Now, Lord, as we turn to Thy word, we pray that Thou would challenge every heart. And especially, Father, if there should be one here tonight that knows not the Lord Jesus, O God, we thank Thee that in Thy providence Thou dost have them in the place where the gospel is proclaimed. And, Father, we pray that Thou would open their hearts to receive Thy word. And, Lord, ere this service comes to an end, may they be adopted into the family and fold of God and rejoicing in Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that Thou would speak, therefore, by Thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the prayer meeting recently, you have been focusing on revival, the Lewis Revival. And in this year of 2009, that is the 150th anniversary of the famous 1859 revival that occurred in Northern Ireland. Just before that revival broke out, a minister there, the Reverend J.H. Moore of Connor in Northern Ireland, he urged some young men who had come to him, he urged them, do something more for God. And he underlined it, do something more for God. These young men were called James McQuilkin, John Wallace, Robert Carlyle, and they were joined later by Jeremiah Manili. Now, they decided they would do something more for God, so what they did, they started Tannybrake Sunday School, and then after that, they started a Bible class for the parents of the children who came along to the Sunday School. And then in the autumn of 1857, they began to meet and to pray specifically for revival. And God answered those prayers because in 1859, there was the salvation of something like 100,000 people swept into the kingdom of God in the space of about 6 months. Now, in this revival anniversary year, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster decided to do something more for God. And so they started a province-wide campaign to challenge people to consider Jesus Christ. You'll notice I read from Hebrews chapter 3 and also chapter 12. We're called to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they started a province-wide campaign in the month just past, September, and they got a tract, this tract here, into every residential home in Northern Ireland. That's almost 750,000 homes. They got these in there, and they pray, have been praying the Lord would bless. As well as that, they had 43 billboards erected in prominent places throughout the province. And as well as that, they had 48 smaller ones in shopping centers, major shopping centers. As well as that, they had 300 buses with a great big Consider Christ a sign on the side of them, and another 300 with the same message inside the buses. And so they have been working hard in this program. And by the way, the program says Consider Christ, and you'd have a job finding the name Free Presbyterian here. You just find it in very small print at the end of the tract published by the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. They got very good publicity because on the newsletter, the Belfast newsletter, which, by the way, is the longest continually published newspaper in Britain. It started back in the 1700s. And on Saturday the 5th of September, they had on the front page the church reaching out to every Ulster home. And there's a story here in the front page and continued later on of the work that is this program was involved in. And as well as that too, they gave us a good article on the work in Kenya and the opening of a school there in Kenya. So the Lord was gracious and got us good publicity to get this message out, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to look at this tract. And I want to basically just share with you, because you don't get them into your homes, to share with you the message. And the message is very well written, very well put together. And I want you to pray as well as we pray for our John's Gospels in this locality. Pray for these tracts that have gone into every residential home in Northern Ireland. Pray that the Lord would really bless. Now on the front page, they've got a picture of the world. And it says, in a world without direction, in a world without certainty, in a world without hope, consider Christ only Savior now and forever. Through Him alone, God is revealed and heaven is reached. And so I want to look at the three points that they make here. And they're very interesting. And I pray that if you're not a Christian, that tonight you too will consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would come to know Him and be saved by His grace. The first point to make is that in a world without direction, Jesus Christ is the way. And the whole tract is focused on John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this has been likened to the alphabet of salvation. The Lord Jesus had just finished His public ministry. He told His disciples, sadly, that He was going to suffer and He was going to die and He'd be taken from them. Those disciples were discouraged, they were frightened, and they were distressed. And that's when He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now the question is, where is the place that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare? And the answer, it is His Father's house, or it is heaven. Now Thomas posed the question. He says, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And so he's coming along, Lord, we're not sure where You're going, and how can we know the way? And in our day, how can we know the way to heaven? Where is heaven? It's up there somewhere. We can't point directly. It's there or there. Heaven is out there somewhere. And it is a real place that God has prepared. But we have to face the same question as Thomas. Lord, we know not the way. But this verse in verse 6 of chapter 14 tells us, Jesus said, I am the way. And so if you want to get to heaven, you have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not one way among many. It is one way. One way to heaven, as we're singing this morning in the Sunday school, and Jesus Christ is the only way. Now, just outside London, England, there is a famous place called Hampton Court. It was built by King Henry VIII in his day, and it's famous for the most famous hedge, maze, or labyrinth in the world. And crowds, they come to England, they come to Hampton Court, just to get lost in the maze. And some of them do. Some are able to get their way out. Some get lost in the maze. But thankfully, there's somebody there as an attendant to help them, because there's only one way out of that maze. Now, we were studying in Ecclesiastes some time ago, and Solomon, in that book, tells us how that our life is like a maze or like a labyrinth. And he tells us how that in his case, he tried all kinds of ways to get out and to find release and to find blessing. He tells us that he tried wisdom. And so this man, who was the wisest of all, he applied his mind and his heart to wisdom. But at the end of the day, he had to say, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Then he turned his attention to labor, and he worked and he labored, and he provided. And at the end of the day, he was lost in the labyrinth of life and said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Then he turned to laughter, and he tried by making jokes and so on to make light of life. And at the end of that search, he had to say, again, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And then he tried possessions, and he had possessions in abundance according to the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. And again, after looking at all the work that he had done and all the possessions that he had brought to himself, he said, all is vanity or emptiness and vexation of spirit. Then he tells us that he tried another pathway through the labyrinth of life, and that was the pathway of pleasure. And again, he found himself frustrated. He could not find his way, and he cries out, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. But then, when he comes to the end of the book, he has found the answer. And he says there, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So to get out of the labyrinth of life, there's only one way. And that is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And one of the clear commandments of the Lord is, ye must be born again. Jesus said that, and it's not an option, it's not something that you can take or leave. Jesus says, if you want to enter the Father's house, if you want to get to heaven, ye must be born again. We've been born again physically, we have physical life, but in order to have spiritual life, we have to be born again by the Spirit of God. There's only one way to heaven, and that is by the Lord Jesus, and that is by being born again through the sacrifice that he made on the cross. So in a world that has no direction right now, Jesus Christ is the way. He is the only way. The second point our tract makes is, in a world without certainty, that Christ or Jesus Christ is the truth. Pilate came to Jesus at the time the Lord was being tried, and he said to him, and he brought a very difficult question to answer, and that was, he said to Jesus, what is truth? And that's a question that we may well ask today, because we live in the society of spin doctors. Somebody in the political world dumps something, and then the spin doctors get to work, and by the time they're finished, you wouldn't recognize what the politician said at the beginning from what it is now, because that is the way they work. You'll find also in life that there are people, and to put it mildly, they say they are economical with the truth. They do not pay much attention to being very, very true in the things that they say. Also in our society, used to be able to say that the camera does not lie. And you'd look at a photograph yourself and didn't like it, but say, that's what the camera saw. But you can't say that today, because the camera does lie. Because with all kinds of photo-fixing programs and computers and so on, you can make a photograph that looks awful. You can make it look really good. And sometimes you can put things there that are not there, and you can take out things that are there that are there. I remember a photograph we needed doctored, and it was done, took a thing out of it completely, and you wouldn't know it was ever there in the first place. So they say the camera can't lie, but it does lie. And again, in this world, you'll find people, they talk about packaging. And we all suffer from this as the various companies, they package things in clever marketing ploys. And the idea is, you've got to get this. And when you get it, you discover what's inside is not nearly as good as you thought it was going to be from the packaging that was there. So in this world that we ask ourselves, is anybody truthful today? Is anything truthful today? But the Bible tells us here, Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth. And God is true. He is the living and the true God. He is the divine standard for truth. Titus 1 and 2 tells us, God cannot lie. It's not that God does not lie, it is God cannot lie. Because lying and dishonesty is alien to the very holy nature of Almighty God. God the Father cannot lie. Jesus Christ has described himself in John 14 and 6 as the truth. And then again, you'll discover in the scriptures, it speaks in John chapter 16 of the Spirit of truth. And he will guide you into all truth. And God is the living and the true God. But in this world, there's so much that is untrue. And in a world without certainty, Jesus Christ is presented as the truth. Now, truth is dogmatic. 2 + 2 = 4. That is a narrow, dogmatic statement. But it is the truth. And no matter how much you want to make 2 + 2 to equal 3.5 or to equal 5 and come along and protest that you want it like that, the statement never changes because 2 + 2 = 4. And you find that the truth of God does not change because God gives us in his word, it tells us the Spirit of God shall lead us into all truth and that he tells us the truth about himself in the Bible. And then he teaches us the truth about ourselves in the Bible. And for example, Jesus tells us the truth about God when he says that God is still alive and well and in control. And thank God he is. I hope you'll come along on Tuesday evening to see this presentation with regard to the creation ministries. Because there are those today, and there is a determined attack by various writers across the world to say that there's no God. But we can tell them that the Bible already has spoken about them because it says in the Bible that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And thank God today we know that God is alive. He is, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And despite what our sight may tell us and our ears may tell us, God is still in control. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. But Jesus tells us the truth about God, that God created us for his glory, to live for his glory. And we have to ask ourselves, well, Lord, why am I here on earth? Is it just to ingratiate myself, to bless myself, to be filled with possessions? Just think of what Solomon said, when you die, who shall these things be? And you come and you fill your house with all kinds of things, and when you come to die, your family don't want the things that are precious to you because there's no interest to them. They're bulldozed out into the skip, and away they go to the dump. You see, God created us for a purpose, and that purpose was to live to his glory But we have all sinned against God, and we have therefore been living for ourselves. Then the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we cannot save ourselves from sin any more than we could lift ourselves up from the ground by tugging on our shoelaces. We cannot save ourselves. And furthermore, Jesus tells us that because of our sin, we are miserable and never come to the full enjoyment of the blessing that the Lord has for them that love Him. And then the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we need a Savior. We need someone to save us from sin, and the only one who can do that is Himself, the blessed Son of God. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." But then the Lord also tells us what we need to believe and what we need to do about this fact that we're sinners and lost and heading towards a Christless eternity. He tells us, the Lord Jesus tells us, that God has come to man in his misery and in his need. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came down from the splendor of glory down to this world that he might meet us at the very point of our need. And then the Lord tells us, both by words and by action, that he gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins and to provide our righteousness from him. So the Lord Jesus Christ has brought that truth before us, and he tells us that he is worth trusting for life and for eternity, and that we need to act upon these truths, because that activity is called faith. Faith in Christ, faith in his atoning blood, faith in his sacrifice on the cross. And thank God the Bible tells us he saves the very uttermost, all that come unto God by him. So in a world without direction, Jesus Christ is the only way. In a world without certainty, Jesus Christ is the truth. Then the third one is, in a world without hope, Jesus Christ is the life. Now deep inside all of us, there is a yearning for something more. I remember as a young man going out with a friend of mine when we were serving our apprenticeship in the aircraft industry. We went out to a movie one night. Never forgotten it. I think it was Newtownards Road in Belfast. I'll not tell you the name of the movie so that you won't be tempted to go and get it out. But we watched this thing in the movie palace, and we come out afterwards, both of us, absolutely miserable. I remember saying to John, my friend, "Is this all there is to life? Is that what life's all about?" And then another man that I knew who was an alcoholic, and how that he drank. And I said to him, Billy, he came to Lord later, and I said to him after he was saved, "Billy, how could you drink so much? I couldn't drink more than maybe a glass or two of water or tea or something. Now, how could you do it?" He says, "Well, I would drink until I could take no more. Then I would go out to the washroom, put my fingers down my throat and vomit it up and start again." And I said, "Is that what life's all about? Is that what living is all about?" And so deep down within the heart of every soul, there is a desire for something more. And asking the question, is that all there is to life? In Greek mythology, there was a king called Tantalus. And Tantalus, he was chained in a lake with water up to his neck. And while he was in the lake there, he grew thirsty. And every time he bent his mouth over to drink of the waters of the lake, the waters receded so that he couldn't drink. And then when he was hungry, he would look overhead and he would see branches hanging there filled with all kinds of fruit. And every time he reached up to get some fruit to satisfy his hunger, the branches would recede away from him. And so he comes to us as the picture of utter frustration. And my friend, in life, if you leave the Lord Jesus Christ out of your life, you're going to finish up in utter frustration, because you grab for the waters of life. "I tried the broken cistern, Lord, but the waters failed." And every time you try for something to feed your hungry souls in this world, you'll find it will not satisfy the soul. And that king's name is immortalized in our language, in the word tantalize. The word tantalize is to lead you on, but never ever to satisfy you. And King Tantalus in Greek mythology is the foundation of that word. And my friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never ever be satisfied. Now John, in his Gospel, over 50 times uses the word life. Sometimes he's speaking about physical life that we have, but many, many times he's speaking about something much more. He's speaking about spiritual life. He's speaking about eternal life. And my friend, today, if you would ever get to God's house, the Father's house, if you would ever get to heaven, you've got to come by the way of the cross. You've got to come by the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only one who can give life for a look at His crucified person on the cross of Calvary. So in life, there's only one person who can give you direction, and that is Jesus Christ, the way. In life, there's only one person can give you certainty, and that is Jesus Christ, the truth. And there's only one person can give you hope for eternity, and that is Jesus Christ, the life. I thank God for every soul here who knows the Lord and is rejoicing. But for those of you who do not know the Lord, can I encourage you tonight, in the words of Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 12, to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior now and forever. Through Him alone, God is revealed and heaven is reached. May you come tonight to know Him, and may you be saved by His sovereign grace. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the simple message that the Lord delivered to His disciples. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how He said, no man, no woman cometh unto the Father but by Me. We thank Thee, our Father, for those who already have found eternal satisfaction and life in the Lord Jesus. We pray that Thou would bless them and encourage them. And Lord, help us all, like that minister gave advice some 150 years ago, do something more for God. Oh God, we pray that Thou would help us to obey that. But Father, for those who are still looking for direction in life, they're still trying to find some certainty in the uncertainties of this present world, and still trying to find hope in a hopeless world, oh God, we pray that Thou would give them grace to consider Christ this night, and we pray that Thou would save them by Thy grace. Hear this our prayer, glorify Thy name, bless Thy people, and save the lost, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.